Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and you're very welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe, together with Guinness. On today's show, all eyes on Celtic Park, Glasgow, as we look ahead to the Guinness Pro 14 final between Leinster and Glasgow Warriors. We'll also be chatting about the two semi-finals with Glasgow giving Ulster a bit of a hiding and Leinster just having way too much for Munster. We tackle your Twitter questions and we chat Game of Thrones with our Game of Thrones correspondent and guru, Connacht and Ireland out half, Jack Carty. We'll also have some Maid of Moore end of season awards from Baz and Andrew. Just on Carty, like obviously we're going to talk about it later on in depth. But
let's whet our appetite now.
Yeah, exactly. We haven't seen this week's episode of Game of Thrones.
Have we not?
You've seen half of it, you absolute asshole. You betrayed me. But I'm still going to just focus on last week. And again, just loosely try and stitch some sort of rugby analogy with Game of Thrones. I haven't screamed at a TV like the way I screamed when Daenerys lost her shit and burned the city to the ground.
Did you not see that coming, though?
I didn't really think she'd do it, did you?
Yeah. When there was a pause and they made such a big thing about when the bells ring, yeah. I was like, when the bells ring, Daenerys doesn't give a crap.
It's going for it.
The bells ring and they took a while to get ringing.
Yeah,
and they started
they
ringing
did.
And everybody's pause. Like looking at Daenerys and we knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah, I still, like the gullible, innocent man inside yeah. me was like, nah. She wouldn't.
And it you,
was like,
you're still seeing the Daenerys from season one
yeah,
falling in love with Khal Drogo.
I was mad about her, yeah.
Getting her tits out every other weekend. You're still in love with that, Daenerys. She's changed.
She's gone. She looks great. The hair like is kind of sticking out bits and pieces now. And yeah. stuff. They used to be so perfect all the time.
Yeah.
That's how they've made her crazy. They've just go, hey, give her hair.
Yeah, and the makeup and all has changed and all, and her face expressions and everything.
But I haven't screamed. I think the last time I screamed at that was when, remember when, I don't know if you were playing back then, but when Ireland beat Scotland in the last day of the Six Nations, and then all France had to do was not lose to England by 40 points or something like that in Twickenham. Do you remember that? Were
yeah.
you playing that day against Scotland?
No, that was 2015.
Was it? Yeah. And
that was whenever they received the trophy in their suits.
Yes.
And afterwards, yeah.
And we were all watching the French-England match going, okay, they're getting a bait in here, but they're still...
Rory Cockett.
Then, yeah, when France yeah. just started running the ball from behind yeah. their own line. Yeah. And you were like, what the...
Kick it out, Rory Cockett.
Yeah. I became the most roaring racist on the planet. I was like, this is so French. Typical French, they're so selfish. And I was like screaming at the TV. And then that little voice of reason in my head was like, wait, Barry. This is the reason you love the French, remember? It's this kind of, this attitude. So surely you can't hate the French because of the one reason that made you love them. So I think the same thing happened with Daenerys. I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. Stop. But then I was like, wait, you love this about her. She is the mother of dragons. Like, this is what she's made to do. Like, burn the city to the ground. What's she going to be doing? Like, a woman with a dragon, like, you can't be sound.
She's been sound so far.
Yeah.
Apart, there's been a few wee moments. Remember she burned Samwell Tarly's family?
Yes.
That was the beginning of her turning bad.
Yeah, and she gave Varys like that poor... I'm sorry for Varys.
So did I. Tyrion, to be fair, said, listen, it was me, man.
Still.
Still, you still did it.
You still did it, yeah.
Doesn't mean it goes away, Tyrion.
Yeah. And then he gave him a little squeeze in the arm at the end.
That's right, yeah. A reassuring squeeze.
A squeeze. And Varys just looked at his arm like, what are you doing, man? Like, I'm about to get scorched by a fucking dragon.
Can we squeeze in my arm just before scorching?
It was pathetic. And I liked the way he was like, Varys got in there. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty good final words, like.
Yeah.
And he was not wrong. No he way. Was spot on. McCarthy will be on to talk to us through what he thinks will happen, because obviously we don't really have a clue. Well, you do, because you've seen half of it, but we'll ignore that. Rugby. Leinster versus Munster. We'll start there. They got there in the end, I suppose. Leinster started a little bit. Let's talk about selection first. I thought that was interesting from Leinster's point of view. delighted to see Ross Byrne play out half. I think ballsy move from Leo Cullen, but probably deserved. He's played a lot of games for Leinster in the Pro 14.
Yeah, and I don't think people oversimplify it, and people, there's a lot of headlines, there's a lot made of it, but at the same time, you play Saracens the week before, unbelievably intense game, Inter-Pro, and then potentially, hopefully from their point of view, they were thinking, right, we're going to have three massive like test match intensity games, mm-hmm. 3 weeks in a row. It makes sense. It's not just a Byrne is getting picked ahead of Sexton. It's definitely not that. That's not what you're thinking, is it?
No.
It's far from it. It's just managing workloads.
Yeah, and I think it's a good message to send to your squad as well.
Yeah, if you play well enough, we'll give you a chance. Yeah.
And then you've got Johnny Sexton coming off the bench after 55 minutes.
Raring to go, wasn't he? He was up for it.
First touch, I think it was, when he made that break. But yeah, I thought fair play. And Ross Byrne had a really good game. He kicked so well. He did 4 out of 4, did he? Then they rest in Kearney, rest in O'Brien, rest in Fardy, and then Josh van der Fleer. What an introduction back into
rugby. He's fast, isn't he?
He was unbelievable. He'd 25 tackles, 8 carries, 4 turnovers. I thought he gave Leinster an edge that they have been missing, I think, in back row and line speed and defence.
Yeah.
I thought he was phenomenal. So
he has a reputation now for someone who looks after himself really well. He's really professional, really diligent with his rehab, and it's not a coincidence that someone with that reputation, someone who works hard, who's as conscientious about their performance as he is, they come back in and they don't miss a beat. Mm. They just go straight back in performing well again.
Mm. Back early as well. I don't think anyone.
He's early. Is that right?
Back really that quick. Yeah. I think Munster's selection, on the other hand, it's a little bit strange. Puts CJ Stander in 7, which didn't really work for me. and I think they were beaten on the ground. That was a tough decision.
But that is an area he's usually very good at.
Yeah.
Getting over the ball is a massive strength of his. So yeah. I can understand maybe a little bit.
I think
I'm trying to give it a benefit of doubt. And I'm trying not to be... What we're critical of, hindsight.
Oh, no, this is Captain Hindsight all over. Yeah, absolutely. And even I've spoken to a few people about Joey Carberry starting, and again, hindsight is a great thing. I thought he had a good game, but he's played 10 minutes of rugby since January, and I think everyone was expecting, God, we just get him back and he'll answer all our questions. And there's a lot of pressure on him to come in. And again, hindsight, JJ Hanrahan has been playing very, very well for Munster over the last month. He's definitely got his tail up, and he's got a little kick in his step. So, again, similar to what Leinster did, if you start JJ playing for 50 minutes and then you bring on Joey, could have been a better option for
maybe
Munster.
But I think Munster probably thought, the way they've performed the last few weeks, it hasn't been the monster that we've been used to seeing, even earlier in the season. Mm. And they probably just thought, we need a spark. We need it. If you're going to beat Leinster in the RDS, you kind of have to roll the dice a little bit, make a few changes. And I think at least they got a shot away. If they didn't play Joey and they didn't change things up in the back row, then they would go, right, chances are Leinster are probably going to be better than us. But if we take a risk, roll the dice with a couple of selections, a couple of changes, then who knows what might happen. We might get a spark out of Carberry. We might get something, discover something in a new back row combination.
I agree. I think when I went into the game, I was like, okay, interesting what they're doing here. And I like them trying something. Sweetenham has been playing pretty well for me. And Mike Haley, although he had a good game on Saturday, hasn't done a huge amount creatively. So I was thinking maybe they could have played Conway at fullback. Conway's well able to play there. He doesn't get his hands on the ball as often on the wing, either as early, they're not getting him the ball.
Yeah.
Whereas Haley gets the ball probably 10, 15 times a game because a lot of teams kick to him. So I was thinking potentially they'd play Conway fullback with Sweetenham on a wing. But again, look, hindsight. And do you know what? Munster played very well in the first half. Yeah. They created a lot of opportunities. They just lacked, again, that little killer punch at the end to score,
But they controlled a lot of the game. Discipline let them down at times. And I thought Leinster got out of the block slow, which is what Munster were hoping for. Mm. They did look a little bit sore from last week, and Munster looked on top. But as the game went on, Leinster were like, okay, we're coming back into this.
Yeah,
took a lot of energy from Van der Fleer, I thought. And
yeah, Munster or Leinster, as Leinster kind of grew into the game, they became... It's like they learned a few lessons from last weekend against Saracens, especially defensively.
I thought defensively they were brilliant.
Weren't they?
Yeah.
And I actually thought Glasgow started defending like the way Saracens were defending. Mm. It's like everybody just goes, whoa, that is like the 5 minute mile. Everybody and goes, wow, we can actually get to that level. Mm. And they just increase their intensity. Leinster looked like they kind of had the same stranglehold on the game towards the end that Saracens had over them last weekend.
Mm. I saw like Van der Fleer, Fardy, James Ryan coming around the corner in defence and timing their run,
ramping up into it
to hitting the ground and hitting the line, sprinting almost, as opposed to starting from a 3-point start.
Yeah,
like they jog around the corner, see Murray's hands on the ball, and then they were gone. And Leinster's defence has actually been quite poor for the last few months. Looking back, and they're like, since they played Glasgow that time, they played Ulster in the quarterfinal, Treviso. Saracens, even, they've been struggling to get off the line, I felt. And that was one of the...
Yeah, it was like the way they were defending earlier in the season.
Yeah.
They were getting back to the way they were.
Yeah, shoulders out and
making a few reads, taking a few risks with your defence. I think whenever you are kind of make a defence, like make your, I suppose, your mentality in defence kind of too academic, you know, just a number up, make sure you get everything correct and then there's no spaces, it becomes too tidy and then you just soak. And I think that's what Leinster were like last weekend. Mm-hmm. But whenever you start defending, again, making just good decisions, but taking risks that are appropriate. Mm. I suppose making a read to shoot up and then just knowing that someone's going to kind of cover you. Mm-hmm. I think Leinster, it just looks a little bit more untidy, but it's way more effective. Mm-hmm. I think you just back each other up a little bit more.
Yeah, I think they got their spacing right. Like, as you hear the commentator saying that there was just a blue wall all the time and they still had the backfield covered as well. Yeah.
James Lowe, Reagan boys.
Yeah, defensively he put in a big shift, and obviously that try in the last couple of minutes was pure James Lowe-esque.
Did Conroy and Lowe fall out, and then Lowe then went, okay, and he took off, and who did he hit? Who
was it? CJ.
It was CJ.
CJ
took him down.
Yeah.
And then it was like he got up and looked at Conroy. He was like, see?
And then they had a little moment at the final whistle when they were walking past and they shook hands, and James Lowe shook hands with Conroy and then looked at the next player after him. But he definitely said something to Conroy as he looked beyond him, because Conway did a double take and then was kind of like, said something back to him. And I was like, oh, I'd love to know what's going on there. He pisses people off, doesn't he, James Lowe?
He does, yeah. Was it the intercept that he was involved in a scuffle earlier on? It wasn't the intercept that he put down.
No.
The slap, it wasn't that. It was a scuffle before that. And it's the same. It's the big white mouth guard. Yeah, it's the big grin, like, right in your face. And if you're trying to take that scuffle seriously, and he's not taking it seriously, it's really annoying.
Stop laughing. He was. I was hoping he'd throw out a few high fives at the end, because we haven't really spoke about that in a long time.
Someone did tweet me and say he's still struggling.
He was, I think, I don't know if we've created that doubt in his mind.
I hope so.
When he was there at the end, there was people coming around and he's like, I don't know what to do here. His hands are just kind of slowly lifting and then not, and he didn't throw any.
He's like shaking hands with people to celebrate.
Yeah. Like some dignitaries.
Congratulations.
Other than that, the crucial Leinster try, I think, was what a difference a week makes. When they didn't throw the pass last week, and this week they threw a few passes for that try. It was absolutely brilliant. And for it to finish with Healy, Furlong, Cronin was gas. But that was vintage Leinster, wasn't it?
Yeah, on that occasion, you could excuse Gary for not passing on that occasion, because it was Kane Healy outside him, and he had to pull it way back to him.
Yeah.
And one of those ones, if you pull it back, then you kind of lose any of the advantage you're going to get with the overlap. Mm. But it's almost like he's just must have heard this all week.
Yeah, throw the pass.
Yeah, whatever you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keane, your problem. You can get that explained.
Open it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it was a brilliant finish. And kind of, I think, was that Cronin's 13th try of the season?
Yeah.
Some gas. He made another break as well.
He made a break off that when they hit the midfield and then they sweep back and then he comes underneath.
Yeah.
That. He's been doing that. Leinster been doing that for a while, have they not? That's quite a common play. I think South Africa used to do that.
Okay.
My big fella, Juan Smith, used to just
run that line.
Yeah, yeah. Off Pienaar, back inside.
Apparently, Robbo, Mark Hobson got in a few.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, because
I couldn't watch it on down here.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
So I was watching the different air sports.
So I was watching on Premier Sport, but. Yeah. There were kids everywhere. I couldn't really hear much. There was some mention of a rhinoceros with scissors.
Hippopotamus.
Was that hippopotamus?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
What a legend.
So he did that again. It's just a wee nod to you. He's in love with you, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He referred to you as the ghosting gusket.
Wow.
Which to me is not offensive enough.
It's
too complimentary.
Yeah, it's not offensive at all.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
we the
ghosting gusket.
The remit was to offend you.
Yeah,
nah.
Me and Robbo like that.
He loves you, you know.
Yeah.
And he was going. I was on the phone to him this morning on the train the way down, and he goes, "He was a great player, great player. Just kept getting injured at the wrong time." I was like, "Shut up, would you, Robbo? Just slag him off."
So he got no slagging.
No, he didn't slag at all. Man, but what he did say was, "You like this." Oh, no.
Go on.
Okay.
Spit it out.
I know it's just a really hard word to pronounce.
Okay. Sorry, I thought it was a compliment. We were getting a rash from them to say it.
Okay. And he went on to talk. He said, the ghosting gusket. And he said, Barry's now marooned in the quasi-perspicacious Middle Earth of lampoonery. Have you ever heard the like of it?
No.
Perspicacious. I think that's the correct pronunciation.
Yeah.
I think that means when you've got a little bit of insight, and then lampoonery, obviously, like abusing boys left, right, and centre.
Yeah, you bring that definitely.
You're perspicacious. I'm.
Yeah. Lampooning. Yeah.
Lampoonski.
That's my. Say that to me again.
Oh, Barry.
Okay.
Just got through it last time. Barry is now marooned in the quasi-perspicacious Middle Earth of lampoonery.
Love it.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
It's because there's only a handful of videos of me doing stuff in rugby online, of me scoring tries, whatever. And it's always Robbo who is commentating over it. So I've grown, having watched them back the odd time, I've grown to love his voice more because he's so complimentary when he does it. As opposed to, like, do you know your man Grant Nesbitt? Is it the Kiwi... The famous Kiwi commentator,
right?
Who I grew up listening to him. Like, you know his voice. He's that real Kiwi guy, and he's been doing it since I was a kid. And I always dreamed I'd love someday for him to say my name doing something. And then I knew he was doing the commentary for the Munster All Blacks game in 2008 in Thorn Park. So I was like, here's my chance. I'll get. And then I scored the try. I was like, oh, he's definitely going to have to say my name. So I remember going home and watching it the next day and. Fast forward and to listen to that part, and he goes, "It's a try for Munster, scored by." Pause, where he clearly has to look down, and he goes, "Barry Murphy." A definite question mark after it. I was like,
I thought for a second he was going to say, "For Gary Murphy."
No, it's
you know, Robbo's actually not that well liked down in Munster direction.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's the O'Gara. Well, sorry, maybe he's not liked down Munster direction, or maybe O'Gara doesn't like him.
Okay, right.
I think it might
same
be.
Thing.
So O'Gara used to call him BBC Humphreys.
Right.
He felt like he always like talked up David Humphreys back in the day.
He probably did.
Yeah,
it's a natural.
We all did.
Only
messing around.
BBC Humphreys.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Robbo.
Good man, Robbo. Great work.
We'll continue to give you a few. There's hippopotamus with scissors. I'd love to know who he was referring to with that as well.
He also called James Lowe gorilla glutes.
Fair enough. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know who the hippopotamus was. But he's got the summer off, Robbo. Take the summer off and we'll see you next season.
Yeah, come up with more. Little bit on Munster, I suppose, the end of their season. Ultimately, disappointing one, another couple of semi-finals, and they did look, Pienaar Mani looked quite dejected again after the game.
obviously a lot changing there. Coaching-wise, is going to be, there's a few names been thrown around. Stephen Larkham, former Aussie coach, is one of them, which will be very interesting. It's supposed to be really technical.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Supposed to be a bit of a freak, like would have 10 or 12 options off every, you know, line out or scrum that in different positions in the field. But yeah, it's more of the same for Munster, wasn't it, really?
Yeah. Is there any more chat of Rob Piley?
I haven't heard anything since last week, but I think there was an interview done, or so I heard. So, yeah. But there's going to have, they'll have to add 3 or 4, right?
Yeah, it's tough for them, because it feels like last few years, like Munster supporters have been saying, you know, what do we need to do to get to the next level? What do we need? And then it's just been semi-finals, finals, which is better than where Ulster are currently. Mm. But at the same time, you know, it feels like they've been there for a while, and then the losing Felix, losing Fla, Dougie Howlett, chat of him going as well. It'd be difficult to for next year not to be seen as another transition whenever they really need to be moving forward. So
yeah, it's interesting because, like as you said, they're in a better position on paper than Ulster and Connacht are. But who do you think is happier at the end of the season, Ulster or Connacht fans or Munster fans? Which is it's an interesting one. And
Ulster have had the season, like, no one expected Ulster to have as good a season as they've had. Mm. So as you're right, it's what you kind of expect. But Munster, I suppose they're a victim of their own success, because they had so much success in Europe for so long that now then Munster supporters maybe are looking back thinking the good old days, be nice to get back there. Mm.
Yeah, it's just, I suppose, that ability to play a little bit more of an expansive game. And that's where they struggled again the weekend. They worked their holes off, like, you know, they'll outwork any team. They've defensively, they put in massive shifts every week, and they're creating opportunities. But it's that last option, or that little bit of killer instinct, and, like, do you know that backdoor pass that we talk about a lot, where a 10 goes out the back, and we've and teams go wise. Like Glasgow did it so well at the weekend against Ulster. Munster didn't use that play once until JJ Henry came on in the last 10 minutes of the game. You know, it's just bizarre that they kind of. They've chosen to play that way. So for that reason, I don't think there's a huge amount that needs to change. You know, they could do with a few more signings. Maybe they could do with a James Lowe that can finish like that. And then obviously a whole new philosophy on going forward and creating those opportunities, which, as you've seen with Dan McFarlane, is not rocket science.
Yeah.
You know, it's doable. So... And I think we've been saying that for the same, you know, we started this season, that's the way we were talking, and same with the last few seasons. So
whoever it is that they get in, then it'd be nice from Munster's perspective for them to get someone in at the start of pre-season. Obviously, they're going to lose their internationals. They're going to be in Dublin most of the pre-season, but it'd be nice to get someone in there to create a stamp early on and kind of set a tone. Otherwise, you end up doing all your learning in important games at the start of the season. Mm. So...
Yeah,
tough,
but look, they'll regroup. And also, will Ulster, did you work at that game?
No.
It was a disappointing finish, obviously.
Yeah,
good game, I enjoyed it as a neutral, I suppose.
Yeah,
serious performance from Glasgow.
They're class.
Yeah,
Glasgow,
absolutely.
I think Leinster will have their hands full next weekend. Mm. Glasgow were going unbelievably well. They just look very comfortable in what they're doing with ball in hand. Hastings is just he's just running everything. He just looks so composed, and he's putting Johnson in space. Your man, the 13, the South African fella, and then Hogg and Seymour. They seem to be just loving the style of rugby they're playing. And obviously that's their backline, but their forwards are getting gain lines and dominance up front as well. So
they have a brutish pack, like one of the best set piece and mauls in the competition, and they'll always have that option and the pack to get real down and dirty and get a bit of grunt. But then they don't always take that option. More often than not, they don't. They'll go out the back to Hastings.
Yeah.
And like I said, Glasgow were throwing that pass 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
It's going out the back. But what I love about Hastings is his ability to stay deep
and know when to go flat, know when it's quick ball that you get a little bit flatter. And it's something that we don't really highlight a lot. Is that's what gives him that much time and space. When you say that he looks so composed, he has time on the ball.
Yeah.
Because he's not, if he sees a team coming flying, he's not going to be up flat, and especially if they've got time to set themselves and come off the line. He just cools the jets, takes another few yards off the line, and they were pretty easily getting the ball from one side of the pitch to the next. And then when he did take it flat, he's dinking them over the top, or he's got an inside option.
It's quite Owen Farrell-esque, I think.
Yeah.
The way he plays. Mm. And then there was a try towards the end, actually. I don't know who it was, kind of shot up ahead. And then he just waits for you to get out of position, and then just feeds that pass in behind.
And he's pumping a lot, isn't he? But he's moving the ball in two hands, and it sits down defences all the time. Yeah. And I thought, like, Ulster's selection for that game actually was a little bit unusual. I know Ballacoon had pulled out.
Yeah.
But I thought they'd been going so well with Ballacoon, Lowry, Stockdale, or even Rob Little, and Ludic not having played in 2 or 3 months, I thought it was a bit risky putting him in there, and may not have had his best game, so I thought that was a strange decision there.
Yeah, I suppose the young fellas have all been going well. Louis is a guy maybe similar to Josh, who like really looks after himself and can come straight back in typically. And he kind of knows his game plan. He looks after himself. He would have been physically ready, definitely. Yeah. As you say, the young fellas were getting a nice bit of momentum.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, it was 50-22. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Wasn't that? I know Ballacoon was pulled out, but big fan of Rob Little as well, and I just feel like they could have done with a little bit more of that dynamism that he has.
A bit of X factor.
Yeah. But yeah, not taking much away from Glasgow. That I thought that the tries they scored, especially in the second half, like the Staines try from the chip and gather and finish, and then George Horn's chip for Peter Horn was just unbelievable.
It was class.
Again, like I know they were winning quite well, and they didn't, you know, they but that's the way they played all season. Is kind of they'll throw caution to the wind, and you expect them, because they've got one of the best mauls in the competition, to just keep up the jumper and maul them over the line, which they probably would be still capable of, but he just pulls out, little dink, the two brothers linking up.
Yeah, and the young fella with the confidence to execute that as well.
Yeah.
Which one's the nine? George,
yeah.
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 Well, he's a youngster, isn't he?
He's the younger brother, I think. Yeah, I don't know how young he is.
I mean, like, these guys just, they come in. I suppose when you're a young fella and you come into an environment like that, I think Leinster have experienced this, then young guys, they just kind of thrive, or they just, more is expected of them, so they deliver more, or they kind of, they just learn so much from the guys around them, so, that was class.
Yeah, it was very strong. I mean, Lowry, I thought, finished very well. It was a delight for him to get that try in the end. To top off his good season, and
getting dragged over by Cavey, wasn't it?
yeah. It was great to see Cavey. I mean, he equaled your record.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
How many games is that?
229
games.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But I got that back in the day when it was harder.
It was harder.
People say that.
Are you sickened, or how do you feel?
No. Delighted for him. Absolutely delighted. Because I think...
Delighted he didn't beat you.
I am just delighted it ended there.
He...
I'll stop rattling in the back of the studio.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Pat yet. How are you, Pat?
Grand.
It was a shame not to give Cavey and Rory a bit more of a send off.
Yeah,
but I think they've had a few send offs already. Yeah, from Cavey's point of view, you know, it's nice to get that milestone, and kind of he's always been very committed. He's been a one club man, and he's done it time and time again, and I think he's happy to move on, and just he's very smart. He could kick on to something else, different type of career, but it's nice for him to be kind of recognised up there.
Absolutely.
Up there with the best. And then Rory's send-off is coming at the World Cup.
Yeah. Did they have a big night out on Saturday night?
I don't know. They chartered back, so it would have been in Belfast. I don't know.
They must have gone all day Saturday, though, would they?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
But I thought
a big going away party for the two of them, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, they're going to Spain this weekend, actually.
The whole team?
Spain or Mallorca. It is Spain. I think the players have organised a couple of days away.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that? Go away together as a group?
I think it was Kavy organised it. Maybe might have been last year or the year before. Mm. Whenever Ulster season sometimes ends earlier than you'd hope. And then you can have a couple of weeks where you train a bit and then you get away, have a couple of nights out and then you kind of finish the season. But it's a nice wee way to finish off, get the boys together and have a bit of crack for the holidays, because everybody goes their different directions.
Yeah, I don't think we ever had any holidays. It was always just have a few days together. I think Saracens went for 3 days in Newcastle last week at the end. They stayed in Newcastle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Andy Good, or Alex Good in his rugby gear was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And the bum bag.
Yeah.
I'll get behind the bum bag.
You love a bum bag as well, don't you?
I love a bum bag, man. Yeah, they're class. I think that'd be a good Halloween costume, wouldn't it? Just dress up as Alex Good.
Speaking of Halloween costumes, Dermot, our sound guy, we were up doing a promotion for Subway in Belfast last week. And we were asking Dermot about his dreadlocks, and he's got tattoos and piercings and stuff, and we're asking about his dreadlocks, how do you get that hair? And then we had already had that conversation, and then these kids arrived, and this wee girl, she was 10, Meadow her name was, real character, real funny, real outspoken, chatting, slagging everyone. And then she goes, "What? Oh, how did you get your dreadlocks?" And then he goes, "Oh, you have to do this, you have to mat it, and then you have to back comb it." And he says, "Do you ever back comb your hair?" And she goes, "Only at Halloween, mate." He was gutted.
He doesn't usually get out smarted, does he? He's usually...
Yeah, he's sharp,
sharp.
Not this day. Meadow got him.
Yeah.
10-year-old.
Meadow's a great name.
Yeah.
Just a last note on Ulster. As you said, you'd be happy enough with how their season went from where... Like, when they got that hiding down in Munster at the start of the season... It was looking pretty bleak for them, and I know they were missing a lot of players that night, but to finish the way they did...
I think you can see the impact McFarland's had all season. They've got better and better, and they've got consistently better. I think they have, but there's been blips along the way when things just haven't gone their way. Glasgow, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and then Glasgow just there. But I think that's probably a reflection of Glasgow. I think Ulster have shown that they can get... up to the level that they performed at for that quarter final against Leinster. Again, didn't go their way, but hopefully the progress is sustainable and I'll continue in the next season.
Yeah. Anyone for the World Cup squad? You'd be, I think, McCluskey.
Any bolters?
Yeah, I think McCluskey's definitely put his hand up.
Yeah.
Brilliant for the weekend.
But he's been brilliant though for ages.
Yeah.
He hasn't got any more brilliant, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And the one area, well, back row and centre are the two areas where being brilliant might not just be enough. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it is.
Yeah.
Because he's probably Ulster's most important player.
Yeah.
Often he's the guy that gets gain lines, but yeah, be nice to see him get a go. Be nice to see one of the young wingers get a go, or maybe Mike Laurie.
Not in the World Cup though.
No?
No.
Why not?
I just think the competition's too high there at the moment.
What with all the Munster wingers?
I think you'll have to take Conway, you'll have to take Earlsey, you'll have to take Stockdale. Even Adam Byrne, I'd bolt ahead of Lowry at the moment. But look, definitely one for the future.
Dave Carney went well.
Did actually, yeah. Yeah.
I think he's really underrated actually.
Mm.
I do. I think he's really skilled, really good footwork, really nice balance. James Lowe, is he Irish qualified yet?
Next November, 12 months.
Yeah.
John Klein is qualified a few days before the World Cup, actually. Like 3 days before the World Cup. Played a big game again the weekend. He's a brute. Anyway, we'll move on. We'll be right back with some Guinness Pro 14 final chat, your Twitter questions, and we get our prophetic Jack Carty on the phone for our Game of Thrones chat. But before that, this Wednesday, I don't know if you know this, but we have a live House of Rugby from Liberty Hall in Dublin, where we have guests such as Dan Levy, Fergus McFadden, and many, many more. Are you excited?
Yes. Yeah. I'm excited about the many more. One more, probably.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be loads of people there, and you can get your tickets and your pints of Guinness. The tickets will be, we'll put up a link later on the website, and we'll tweet about it. But we'd love to see you all there for a bit of crack. Our end of season party, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, the Belfast show was off the chart.
Yeah.
So let's try and get our intensity levels up.
Yeah.
Similar to the Saracens defence.
Yeah.
In banter.
Well, I'll have seen the last episode of Game of Thrones, so I'm hopefully to mostly talk about that.
I remember once driving home from a game with Paulie in, from Cork, and he was driving, and I was sitting next to him, and we were just chatting away, and we looked ahead, and there was a rabbit hopping across the road in front of us, and I think we both thought at the same time that if he just keeps on moving, that we'll just go past him. So we're driving, and the rabbit just stopped and looked straight into the headlights, and Paulie just fucking smacked straight into the rabbit. And you could just hear this dink off the off the bonnet of the car, and he was like, "Oh no, oh no, oh no!" And I was couldn't stop laughing at what had happened. But he described what had potentially happened, like he was probably in the bushes with his family, and he was like, "I'm gonna go out and get eat some food," and they're like, "Thanks, Dad," and he's like, "Hey." Hopped out, and then Paul O'Connell just mows them down in his car. So I thought
that before he goes, they're like, "Watch out for psychos, yeah."
Okay, welcome back. This Saturday at Celtic Park, Guinness Pro 14 season comes to an end. And yeah, the league's two best sides come face to face, Leinster and Glasgow. We'll do some awards in a few minutes for end of season, but yeah, let's have a quick chat about this. Would you say Sexton will start, maybe?
Yeah, yeah, Johnny got back in there, I would have thought.
Yeah, more than likely will.
It was nice, there was a big reaction from Johnny. Mm. When he came off the bench, like he was up for it. Mm. He was fired up.
Yeah.
I think whenever he's at his best, he's at his competitive best. And that's probably, that was nicely managed, I suppose, by Leo, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To get the best out of him. As you say, Ross Byrne not taking anything away from him. He was very good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. Van der Fleer, obviously, he's going to stay in there with the 7 jersey. More than likely, maybe Sean O'Brien on the bench.
So Sean O'Brien, he's not injured, is he?
No, I think they were just resting him. He's put in a big effort over the last few months, I suppose. But yeah, it's not going to be easy. Glasgow, they were, as we said, they were unbelievable the weekend. Pretty lethal back three as well as Hastings at out half. Ali Price actually was brilliant as well at the weekend. He's dangerous.
He shot through the rock a few times. You see that? Went after Cooney.
Did he?
Yeah. It looked like it was kind of well planned. Ulster were being quite proactive and just clearing past to make a quick ball.
Mm.
And I think if Cooney had spotted it, he might have just left the ball and then he would have got taken out, might have got milked the penalty.
Mm.
But Ali Price did that two or three times. After him.
I think what defensively they got a lot of stuff right. You know, Billy Burns isn't much of a threat as an attacking 10 in terms of having a go himself. He's very much a kind of a passing 10, isn't he? So I felt like they just kind of left him alone. They come up blanketed on the outside and cut off options outside him, which is, you know, they just got it pretty right.
Obviously
Leinster will offer something a lot different, a little bit more variety. They'll go proper.
I think he might have one thing that Billy Burns does really well is that short kicking game.
If they
had brought that in a little bit, they might have kept that defence a little bit more honest. Then guys were getting kind of hit behind the game line a bit, but.
Dev Toner, unfortunately, looks like his season is probably over. I was glad to see him walk off, because when he went down, I was like,
"Oh man!" When he was going down, he looked like the red keep falling. Tumbling. No. I was going, this could be any body part.
Yeah,
got hurt.
I couldn't even look at it.
Yeah, it looked bad, didn't it?
Yeah. And so obviously Scott Faraday comes in, who was phenomenal when he came in, and James Ryan, of course, was unreal. So what way do you think, how do Leinster lose that game, or how do they win it?
I think if they can kind of stop that Glasgow momentum, when Glasgow get their tails up, a couple of times against Ulster, it looked like they were going to score eventually.
Mm.
Once they get a couple of quick phases, then you're just chasing your tail and you never get that momentum changing defensive play. So I suppose maybe stopping those early phases could be, or stopping them at source, maybe going after their set piece, mm-hmm. could be the way to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, what do we know?
Yeah. It's going to be good crack. I'd love to go to that Celtic Park. Actually,
is it near Celtic Park?
Did Leo Cullen get in a bit of trouble?
Everyone in Glasgow is... Oh, no, all the Glasgow Warriors players are Rangers fans or something like that, so you want to tell the Celtic fans to... Yeah.
It was like, no! Abort! I'd say he meant no harm, but he's getting pulled for it anyway, of course.
Oh, sure, people are getting pulled for saying anything nowadays.
They are. Right, will we get Carty on the phone?
Yeah.
Or do you want to do our awards first?
Give out your end of season awards.
Okay. We've thought so much about these awards. Our Guinness Made of More. Instead of doing the Player of the Weekend, we're going to do our Guinness Made of More Player of the Season, Pro 14 Player of the Season. Mm-hmm. Who do you think? Sean Cronin. Yeah. It's hard to look anywhere else, isn't it?
Yeah.
These Irish players, obviously, 13 tries, played a lot of rugby in the Pro 14 this year. And he deserves it.
Absolutely.
The class. Fine. Not only scoring handy tries, scoring unbelievable tries.
Yeah. Hmm. Handy and unbelievable tries. Mm-hmm. There should be a category for handy and unbelievable tries.
Breakthrough success.
Can I make one suggestion?
Yeah.
Mike Glory?
Yeah. Done.
Okay.
Yeah.
As you can tell, we've thought long and hard.
Well, it was either him or Will Addison. We miss Will. We haven't brought up Will in a while, actually.
No, I know. You remember Will? Remember, I think Will? Mike Laurie's the new Will Addison.
Is he? Yeah.
Will just got injured at a crucial stage.
Mm. Otherwise, he'd have been potentially going home.
He will be
that.
Devastated not to get this award, though.
Yeah.
Final Will.
So, Mike Laurie, you're a breakthrough success.
Yeah, we had talked about Boyle at Connacht and
we did.
Penny, Scott Penny or something like that. But once we said Laurie, we were settled on it. And then you came in, stuck his name out there.
You said Laurie before?
Yeah, me and Pat were talking about it. Yeah.
Good.
He's played a lot of rugby, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And to kind of to come in under pressure and at the start of the season against Leinster of those games as well. I thought, you know, from dropping the ball early on in one of those games to finishing the way he did at the weekend with a great try.
Yeah.
Well done. Try of the season, we actually already gave this one to Jack Carty.
I felt like Jack kind of awarded this to himself a little bit.
Didn't he?
Do you remember he said...
he talked himself up.
He said, yeah, it was pretty unbelievable. I mean the build-up.
We'll pull him on that again. So that was Jack Carty's try against Cardiff, wasn't it? Yeah. Best opposition player from the other 10 teams outside of Ireland.
Do you ever watch anybody else play?
No,
me neither.
Hastings.
Yeah.
Let me see. Some of the Benetton players.
That Mata guy as well, the Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Vakayara. For Benetton Treviso.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah. I used to have an email address that was Javiera, which is something I used to tell my mother when I wanted to tell her to fuck off, but I couldn't say fuck off. I used to say Javiera.
Javiera, ma.
Yeah. So that's the only reason I remember his name. So I just think my old email address. That's some pointless information for you.
So we get
Jack Carty on the phone and we'll hear what he thinks is going to happen in Game of Thrones. Hopefully he hasn't seen it.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
On Wednesday or something like.
Set the tone.
Yeah.
Hi, you've reached the voice message of Jack Carty. I'm sorry. Hey,
don't leave a message.
No, we'll ring him again. Keep that in the show.
Got you there.
Well played. It was a fuck Carty, that prick.
Yeah. Very, very not. I was only able to hear 2 minutes of your voice message last week, so I had to go. I had to go and listen to it. I wasn't able to listen to it the whole time over the phone. The shrimpy recovered from the roast and he got on during the week off Shane Byrne.
We haven't talked about this. I wanted to talk about this.
Oh, sorry.
So this is this the Rugby Players Ireland Award. So they received their award at the front, then they came into a green room and they put Jack and Shane Byrne together. Jack got Supporters Player of the Year and Shane Byrne got the
charitable
community something. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, he came in and
community something.
Yeah, like it was a wee bit stuttered, and it took a while to get going, and then whenever it did get going, he got a bit of momentum. He started abusing me.
For what?
It was one of the most uncomfortable situations I've ever been in. I felt bad for you, Shrimpy, to be fair.
It was weird. Jack,
it was even the people obviously who were there in the crowd, like who were just put in there for the actual TV part of it. Even they were getting a bit uncomfortable with it all. I thought it was a bit unjust now, to be fair.
He goes, he said, you're
this is brilliant.
Beef.
He said, well, we were talking about the Legends game, weren't we? And then I can't remember how it came up. And he said, the Legends is all you got because your career is way, way in the rearview mirror. Like, long gone. You've got nothing.
He said you had no friends as well.
Yeah, man. And then he said you didn't even get invited to Cooney's house party because you got no friends. I didn't know. I just awkwardly cry smiled, you know, like a cry smile. And then just I just did like a cry smile, like an uncomfortable smile. But you knew it was like totally not what I was feeling on the inside.
Were you upset? Were you rattled?
I was rattled. I didn't know what to do, but I was happy enough that I was like, if I just get through this, then none of this is going to go out.
Yeah.
So what can you do? It was weird.
I felt bad. I did. It was very weird. It went past the point of being funny, but you dealt with it well.
Yeah,
He doesn't really have much room to be slagging people, does he?
Oh, you know, we'll get him on the show on Wednesday, will we?
What with having a mullet?
Yeah, just generally, like.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird though, Jack, because at the start, the reason he got the award is because he's an ambassador for Goal, Fighting Blindness, Temple Street, the Legends charity, RFU Charitable Trust. And then we were like, oh, you sound like an absolute sweetheart. When the opposite was true.
He was like Daenerys. We all thought Daenerys was good, and then she burnt Trimby to the ground.
Yeah.
That's who Shane Byrne is, Daenerys.
Yeah. ruined Daenerys for me. What was your take on last week's episode? Jack, I thought it was unbelievable. Trimby here wasn't gone on this.
It was. She lost the plot, really, didn't she?
Mm. It was great.
Her head fully went. I didn't see it happening to that extent. And then obviously, Jamie and Cersei as well. It was a bit of carnage. I couldn't get over her just burning all the innocent people. Though I was like, Jesus.
But they did say
she has done it since season one. She has like butchered people along the way, so when she didn't she crucify all them masters in Astapor or something like that, she crucified all them.
Yeah,
she has been showing some along the way, but I actually was very surprised about it. Just, you know, when she was kind of looking up at Cersei in the sept, and then she just flew over and burnt all the innocent people. It was a bit mad, wasn't it?
I was just so happy that the dragon didn't get killed, because I was just worried that the dragon was going to get shot at the start. And then when the moment happened, when they were both armies were opposite each other and there was just silence, and next thing the wall behind them got blown open and the dragon came through.
Oh yeah,
that was unbelievable.
That fell apart as well.
And then obviously I was.
So you were happy with how it went down. Now some people have given out. I thought it was good. Like they kind of have to wrap it up. I know they might have left it a bit late. But
I kind of got into the fact that she was burning everyone. I was like, go on, burn them.
Even the little girls and all.
Yeah, the women, children, men. I was like, as long as the horse survived. I was delighted that the horse survived at the end. I was like, the horse is an innocent bystander. He's just getting dragged into this.
I haven't seen the episode now, but you can't really see her. I don't know if Arya will get to her or Jon will do something. But
so what's your prediction?
You can't see her surviving.
Do you think John or Arya? It's got to be one of them, right?
Yeah. I don't know which way ever Arya went to that White Horse. Unless she went towards King's Landing more, or did she head off? But I don't know if she'll survive or not. Have you seen it? Have you?
Yeah, I've seen it, Jack.
He's not allowed to talk about it, though.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah. Do you want to hear my prediction?
No.
Jack, what did you think of...
I don't know. I'd say she's dosed.
What did you think of Bronn's monologue after he stabs Jamie?
Bronn?
Euron.
Euron, sorry. Yeah, Euron.
Euron. He's pretty funny, wasn't he?
It was weird.
And it was pretty funny, sure.
Yeah, I chatted to a couple of people there, a couple of the guys on the North of Wait, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. and they thought that was really cheap. They thought that was real, kind of not really in the spirit of Game of Thrones.
What do they say, like, guys, with your burns?
Yeah, you kind of read all the theories every week that you think, what they think is going to happen, and then nothing really happens. Like, there was people saying that Tyrion was going to fly a dragon. I was about to say elephant there, but no, he's going to fly a dragon. But none of them things kind of really happened at all, did they?
Yeah, I couldn't see Tyrion on the dragon. Be weird.
Maybe a wee mini, mini dragon.
I wonder what he'll make. I wonder what he'll make now that Daenerys gone mad.
He could kill her. Himself and Sansa could end up ruling, couldn't they?
They could, sure. They are married. They are married.
They're still married.
I'm going to try and say they're going to bomb home and watch it straight away.
Yeah,
me too. I saw a few spoilers last week's episode. So,
did you?
I'm just not going to look on Twitter. Yeah.
What did you think, though, Jack, of the way Jamie and Cersei died? I mean, was that not...
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that. I was thinking that maybe... I was thinking Arya was going to get to Cersei with Jamie's face. Like, take Jamie's face and then kill her. Well, so it was kind of that was a cheap enough ending as well, wasn't it? Just getting killed by rocks.
Yeah.
Cersei kind of limped out, like, really. She was poor enough, like... But they shoot them with the arrows, and they're like, the arrows are burnt to crisp.
I enjoyed the bit. I enjoyed whenever the Hound and Sir Gregor.
The game ball.
I enjoyed when those two came together, and then your man, the wee priest, was like, obey your queen, and then he just gets swept aside, and then
he got absolutely crushed.
He got completely murked, as Shanners would say. Then the Cersei just goes, don't mind me, and she just tootles off because she doesn't want to get caught in between these two.
Shanners wasn't happy with me when I was chatting to McKinney's. He was like, I didn't know my stuff.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He would have been happy to have got replaced by you, but I think he was disappointed getting replaced by your voicemail.
Yeah, to be fair, that was. I was actually having Connemara, and I had the text off Pat. I had literally completely forgotten. I was like, oh, Jesus, hope the lads. But then I saw the voice message, and I was like, I'm going to get absolutely rinsed.
We did all right, though, didn't we?
Yeah, no, you actually went up and wasn't too bad. So you did well. Took it easy enough on me, to be fair.
And are you finished up now, or have you another few days left?
So there's a couple of us finishing up today, but we're going to train on for the rest of the week, and then we're kind of on holidays, and then obviously depending on whatever sort of squad is named, I think that's named next week or the week after, I think. So we'll have a kind of fair indication of if we're in or out. I think it's to the Connacht lads, maybe have 5 weeks off, which is pretty good. And I think if you get selected for the extended squad, you might have 3.5 weeks or so. So there's a bit of a difference there. So all the Connacht lads, the rest of the lads are getting absolutely beaten this week. And a few of us then are just kind of on maintenance and doing a bit of weights. So it's not the worst.
Cool. And are you around next week to talk to us, more importantly?
Next, what day? Oh, I'm going to Italy next week. I may not be.
Oh.
I'm in Italy next week. Unless you're around Sunday. Do Sunday.
Sunday's difficult for me because it's Chris Henry's testimonial. In Malone, unless you want to do that show on the road in Belfast.
Were you were late this morning?
Yes. Yeah. Was he giving me a hard time? Was he?
I just heard you were a bit late. You're obviously up early watching it last night, right?
Yeah. Really late last night. Yeah.
The Trimby was blaming the train, but we actually reckon he was in Connolly Station just watching the end of Game of Thrones.
I haven't even seen it. I didn't even see the last 15 minutes because it was So rushed.
Oh, yes.
No. I think it's already wrapped up, though. I don't think there's anything significant going
to
happen.
I'm interested to see how it goes now. So
yeah.
Well, fingers crossed it'll be a good one. You don't want to go out and whimper here.
Yeah.
Well, we've just made an announcement, actually, before we got you on, that you're... We need to re-emphasise your try against Cardiff was awarded Baz and Andrews' try of the season. Congratulations.
Oh, unreal. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And Trimby...
Still no award for it, though.
Oh, yeah, what was the award?
No, there's not. No, you're right, Jack. There's nothing. We have nothing material for you.
Yeah.
I suppose
it's all about the honour. It's all about the honour getting it off you, Jack. So.
Yeah, no, that's a massive honour.
I'll take it.
There's a lot of disappointed try scorers out there.
All right, well, we'll leave you back to the beach weights and get yourself looking well for the holidays. And then maybe we could get you on the phone from Italy next week, just while you're panned out on the beach, see what your thoughts were.
Hopefully a spritzer or an Aperol or something in my hand to give me a ring.
Lovely.
Nice one, Jack. Look
all
after
right,
that.
Man. Enjoy
look
the
after
show.
That spleen when you're on holidays, lad, wouldn't you?
Take it easy. Good luck.
Good man, Jack. See ya. Yeah, man. Great fella.
Nice. Wap it up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any questions? Pantsed during a game. I don't think I was ever pantsed.
What does that mean? Get your pants pulled down?
Yeah. Did you ever?
Yeah.
Did you ever get pants to the front?
No, just at the back. Got back pants by Dave Carney, and then he tried to put his hand up.
Up your bum?
Yeah.
Why? Are you alright?
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't think I've never seen many being pantsed front ways. I've seen many dicks.
It's easier to hide, though, isn't it? Like, you can't bend backwards and hide your arse.
That's true. It's easy to hide. Right, thanks everybody for your comments, questions, for listening on all your favourite apps, and for those of you watching us on YouTube. Remember to keep an eye out for the live show later this week on Wednesday in Liberty Hall. It'll drop into all your favourite apps on Wednesday night, Thursday morning. And to everyone joining us on Wednesday night, it should be absolutely brilliant crack.
Oh, it's going to be off the chain on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. Cannot wait. Ginormous thank you to everyone that was involved in making the show this week. Shane, Fiona, Anthony and Pat. This has been Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe Together with Guinness.
Party on.
Party on.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe Together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.